evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the council meeting for May 17th, 2016. The time right now is 7:04 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Scarborough.
Thank you. And we heard last week from Councilmember Gamble that he may be late or not here this evening, so without objection, we'll consider him excused. Will everybody please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Without objection, we're going to make two modifications to the agenda this evening. The first modification is that we're going to move final action number one, which is AB 16068, ordinance number 004-2016, the 2016 budget amendment final reading, to proceed announcements and presentations. The second change that we are going to make to the agenda without objection will be to move the executive session that is currently listed under comments, following comments from citizens, to just after new business, which is just before final action. Okay, if there are no objections to that, we'll go ahead and move on to final action number two. Diane, Ms. Nelson? Thank you.
Thank you for changing the schedule around.
I'm sorry, this is final action number one, AB 16068, ordinance number 004-2016. This is a 2016 budget amendment.
Before I get to that, I just wanted to update you that the Saturday cleanup, 592 attendees, and that's the most we've had so far. It was 513 last year. Big success as far as we know. The budget amendment before you is the same as you saw in the first reading last week, except for one change. There's been added to it a $10,000 expenditure from the contingency fund for office fixtures for the council chambers. And that is the only change that from last week's. If you have any questions at all regarding the expenditures, please, or anything regarding the budget amendment, just let me know. I'm happy to answer.
Councilmember Cutaback.
Was the office fixtures new chairs for Councilmember Camp?
Well, not just for him specifically, but $7,000 for chairs for the entire room and $3,000 for chairs.
We don't want him to fall backwards.
Shall we discuss L&I claim?
Yeah.
Councilmember Cutaback.
So I appreciate your answering questions last week. So this is similar to last week, obviously, with that one change. So I'm going to move to adopt ordinance number 004-2016, amending the budget for fiscal year 2016, to account for actual beginning fund balances and new revenues and expenditures, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay, Councilmember Cutaback has moved to adopt ordinance number 004-2016, amending the budget for the fiscal year 2016. And Councilmember Hanford has seconded the motion. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. Tonight we have our quarterly presentation from the Monroe Chamber of Commerce. Thank you.
I'm short. I have to move it.
Sorry.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. Sorry, it's actually the annual review for last year. I think I entered that wrong when I asked for the time slot.
Thank you.
So my name is Yvonne, and I am the Monroe Chamber Executive Director, and there are also Chamber Board members behind me. Mike's here, Dutch is here, Shelley's here, and Miriam's here. So the chamber membership is a wise investment. The chamber represents over 175 member businesses within the city of Monroe. We represent small, medium, and large organizations, and we have more than 12 different industries and categories. The chamber also delivers referrals to member companies, chamber signature events, complimentary listings, neighborhood directory. Oh, and the neighborhood directory should be on your in front of you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we also do ribbon cutting ceremonies and groundbreaking ceremonies. And we actually have a ribbon cutting ceremony coming up at the end of the month. It's for Main Street Cafe. And we also offer free participation to all chamber members for our annual community awards ceremony, which we just had in April. So our 2015 financial review, we have community engagement events. Oh, I'm sorry. So the revenue makes up about $153,000. Major sponsorships came from our Fair Days Market and Parade, our Music in the Park, and Light Up Monroe. We also had other community events such as beer, bacon, and barbecue, Taste of Thai, which was a wakeboarding event, and our Fair Appreciation Dinner, Polar Plunge, and Mexican Rodeo and Mardi Gras. Our 2015 expenses snapshot, we had about $145,000 last year. Our major expenses were for Music in the Park, Mardi Gras, and the Fair Days Parade. And then membership engagement accomplishments. We hosted nearly 20 different membership specific events. So we brought over 300 members together at different times and community and chamber members together. We had business after hours, our annual community award celebration, our business symposium, and that was a partnership with Coastal Community Bank. And then our general membership luncheons, which are monthly, the second Tuesday of every month. And through these events and other events, the Chamber brought together more than 25 new members into our network. We maintained about an 89% member retention rate and closed with 187 members. Here are four big community engagement accomplishments, our community awards. 150 people attended, approximately 150 people attended, and we passed out about 15 awards. Music in the Park had about 700, and we had 8 concerts last year. Our Fair Days Parade had about 8,500 participants. I'm sorry, attendees, and about 81 participants. So that's where all the different groups that actually walked through the parade. And our Light Up Monroe had about 300 attendees with 12 different vendors. So that was 2015. Now we're going to talk about 2016, mostly because I wasn't here last year, and I'm excited about being here this year. So this year started pretty exciting. We had some new board members. We have Bill from State Farm Insurance, Dutch from the Dashing Dutchman, Ben Allen from Walmart, which unfortunately, if you haven't heard already, he actually got transferred to Mount Vernon, so he's no longer on our board, and Miriam from Unique Cosmetics. So collectively, they have more than 11 years of local business experience, and we already had about 60 years of six decades of experience with our longtime residents and business owners such as Adrian, Tracy Hobbs, Lisa Caldwell, Mike, and of course our operations manager, Shelley. Our community engagement, tourism, and business development. We have, this is just a quick review of what we have spent our time on. We put in just over 500 hours on community engagement. This is really just for the first quarter of the year. And so with that, the majority of it is phone calls, people calling and trying to find out what to do in town, businesses wanting to know who they can call and contact for other opportunities. We've also started working on Light Up Monroe. We participated in the Easter egg hunt. The visitor packets, we're trying to throw those together so if people call on the same thing, we're new to the area, we're coming to be tourists, can you send us something? We're working with Parks and Rec, and we got into the Parks and Rec guide, and so that's part of our visitor packet as well as our business directory. Here's our advertising efforts for the first quarter. We have ads in the visitors' guides, the byway guides. We also post on Facebook. We also opened a LinkedIn account, and so that should be one more social media avenue to get the word out about our events and news in Monroe.
And then business development ideas that we have are, this isn't set in stone, but the idea was Java Jump Mondays. And so it's jump-starting your week with a little new knowledge. And so the idea was to partner with businesses such as Google Workshops, Constant Contacts, the SBLA, SBDC, Snow Isle Library. And then right now, instead of calling an after-hours event, we call it a timeout from Monroe. And it's talk, interact, meet, and experience. And so it's just a monthly thing that we go and do at different businesses. Our next one is on the 19th, if anybody would like to join us. And it will be at Coastal Community Bank. Oh, and catered by Dutch. So here is our flyer for Music in the Park. We have three events scheduled this year, July 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. Newt Bell is actually has a media sponsor, and it's KRKO, and it's their five-year anniversary. And the Donna Osborne Band has Monroe Windermere sponsoring that one. We also have the Fair Days Parade and Market. We've partnered with Poppy Seeds Productions, and they are managing our vendor applications and management. And, of course, we've got registrations and sponsorships available. And then this is Light Up Monroe, and we have started working on it and trying to get more details finalized and new ideas. If you guys have any ideas to help make that better, please let us know. Any questions, comments, compliments?
Council?
Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yep. So to both you, your predecessor, Shelley, to our board members, the work you do here in town is really valued. You do a lot to bring quality events to our community. You help get people in touch with businesses here in town, and on behalf of our community, thank you very much for everything you do.
Thank you.
I haven't seen that one yet.
All right.
Good.
It'd be a great day. Thank you. And the next item on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. We're just waiting for the sign-in sheet. Thank you very much, Ms. Smith. Okay, we have two people who have signed up to speak. The first person is Pastor Minnick. Pastor Minnick, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Thomas Minnick. I live at 13789 194th Drive Southeast in Monroe, and I'm pastor of Heritage Baptist Fellowship. And I'm here tonight to ask you to reject the proposed resolution regarding the East Monroe Free Zone. As you know very well, this process is not over. Heritage is presently involved in a judicial appeal, Superior Court, as well as a request for direct review before the Washington Court of Appeals. These motions are a legitimate part of the appeal process available to any applicant who takes issue with an erroneous ruling by the Growth Management Hearings Board. This proposed resolution has no legitimate purpose. Instead, I believe it's a thinly veiled backdoor attempt by some members of the council to impede our legal right to a meaningful appeal of the board's decision. And that's a step the City of Monroe should not take. This application, now almost 6 years old, is not closed, as stated in Section 2 of the resolution, because the process is not over. The rezone and comp plan amendment, both lawfully passed by this council, are not null and void, as stated in Section 3, until all matters of appeal have been exhausted. And I have to tell you, I can't resist pointing out the glaring double standard that's being practiced by some members of the council. No one tried to take this kind of action, while opponents of our application took literally years with appeals before hearing from the Growth Board. But the minute Heritage pursues an appeal, those members of the council rush in to find some way to try to pull the rug out from under us. Just know that we aren't the only ones. We see the obvious bias at work here. If you pass this resolution, we're certain the court will see it as well. We have a legal right to pursue a meaningful appeal of the board's bad decision. The city should stand down and allow us to do that. So please reject this resolution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that we have signed up to speak is Ms. Misty Blair. Ms. Blair, please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Misty Blair, 15403 Calhoun Road. I would like to first state my support of the resolution that you guys are voting on tonight, and also ask you to take it a step further and actually repeal the ordinances, because that's the only way to actually end this. And I hear council members talking about the need to restore our ability to get funding from the state. And this resolution, as well as the interim ordinance that was passed previously, are not enough to do that. So we're still floating in a non-compliant state until we get something on the books that's not interim, it's solid. And the best way to do that is to repeal the ordinances that we've twice been told by the board are not consistent with the GMA or with CBO. I'd also like to remind you that it is your legal right to pass any ordinances that you feel are necessary. And if it was the legislature's objective or the court's objective to take that right away from you, you wouldn't be allowed to take action right now while there was an appeal happening, but you are, because the courts have decided they can't stop you from taking any legal legislative action. So I'd just like to remind you of that. I hear Mr. Minnick talking as if the council had been taking our side up until this point and not stopping our appeal, which you didn't have the ability to do. So we were following the general normal course of action after voicing our opinion throughout the entire process. And I would just like to encourage you to read the briefs that were submitted in the last round again, and to read the board's decision, because the appeal to whether it goes to the Superior Court or the State Court of Appeals is an appeal of the Growth Management Hearings Board's decision. And unless you believe that every finding and conclusion that they came to is inaccurate, then we're going to be back here again. And all we're doing is prolonging the amount of time that you guys are out of compliance with and the amount of time that you're not eligible for state funding. So again, I would encourage you to pass that resolution and to get something on the docket to repeal the 2015 ordinance. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak with the City Council? Ms. Sellers, please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, Ashley Sellers, 20930 East Rickmont Drive. I'm here. Oh, I'm here. So, just checking in. I just want to address some things that Pastor Minnick said, that this council should stand down at all costs. I greatly disagree. This city has already paid a huge cost for this project, for this battle, and it continues to pay. I sat here and watched you guys reject the $50,000 bond already this year. Last week you voted to amend a budget to add $75,000 to the planning department, because $50,000 has already been set this year towards East Monroe. That's $100,000 already this year, and we're not halfway through this project. So to say that the city has the ability to just sit and wait is not true. To say that the city isn't paying a cost is not true. I sat here last week and listened to you all determine how should we use our money. We need a code enforcement person, that's $100,000. We need a police officer, that's it. We listen to all these issues, or some of us listen to all these issues being thrown around to you, and you're trying to figure out what to do with money, and yet we're still spending money on something that started here long before my time. The other issue is that part of some of this, he'll say to Grove Management Hearing Board that there's been a vast change in political agenda on this council. I don't have to remind you, because you have been up here much longer than me, that it has never been an overwhelming majority of you who have voted for this. So it's not that there was an election and we have four new people that all of a sudden have a different political agenda. That is not the case here. Mr. Scarborough ran on this process, which I know some of you have questioned, and I understand that questioning. But this is not a situation of everybody had an agenda and now everybody changed. It has always pretty much consistently been one vote different. So this has never been a everybody agree topic. It really hasn't been. So to sit here and accuse the council of political agenda, I think it's wrong. I also find it very interesting that the thing that Mr. Minnick and Pace and other people have constantly put the petitioners down about is that we have all these conspiracy theories. But now tonight, it's being sent in front of you, and the same person is presenting a conspiracy theory just about the other three people, right? How is that right? That's not okay. You can't switch the role and say, oh, now it's conspiracy, when before we, right, some of us, were being put down for having conspiracy theories about people on this council. So I really encourage you to pass this, to close this. Pastor Minnick is right when he said that we were allowed lots of time, but we went through the proper steps to have that time. And at those times, we brought up a lot of the issues to Pace, to the council, to Mr. Minnick, about what was wrong with those reports. You guys didn't have to make that a final EIS. You could have said, go back, change these things. The city had the power, Pace had the power. They chose not to do that. By doing that, it went back to Growth Management Hearing Board, and those concerns were validated. So really, the fault there lies in Pace. And at some point, the city, the residents, we don't have to burden this property owner's property anymore. And so I'm really asking for you to stop this tonight, to vote, to end it, and send it back to Growth Management Hearing Board. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, is there anybody else that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? All right, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to consent. Councilmember Camp.
Move to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Camp and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to accept the consent agenda. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item we have on the agenda this evening is under unfinished business, and it is one item. It's unfinished business item number one, AB 16063, discussion vaping devices regulations. And is this Chief Quinzer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On April 26, 2016, Monroe City Council reviewed action recommendations received from the Monroe Community Coalition and also the staff's assessment of these items. The City Council requested that we look at item number two, making it unlawful for a person under the age of 18 to possess a vaping device. That be researched further in regards to the passage of the recent state law in this regard. We looked at the most recent state law, and that is included in the in section 14 of the Senate bill. That was also included. Our recommendation is that the City of Monroe just follow the state law and not enact any type of regulations in regards to vaping.
Thank you. Council, do you have any questions or direction for staff? Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief, for bringing that report. Sounds like the logical thing to do, so no further direction.
Okay. Sounds good. Anybody else on council feel differently?
No, I agree.
Agree.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
The next item on the agenda is new business item number one. This is AB 16064, presentation, 2016 building code update. Mr. Osaki.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm Richard Kearns, building official.
How about Mr. Kearns? I'm sorry.
All right.
I stand before you tonight to talk to you about the upcoming adoption of the International Building Codes. This is something we go through every 3 years. The code updates, it's an onslaught of codes here. The adoption date is July 1st, 2016, and we adopt the 2015 codes. They're always a year behind. I have a laundry list here of codes that we will be adopting. The energy code, the building code, the residential code, the existing building code, mechanical, fuel, gas, and fire codes, and then the uniform plumbing code, which is done by the International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials. I've also listed in the past what we've accomplished in adopting as appendices, such as J for grading, the uniform code for the abatement of dangerous buildings is an older code, but it's very specific in the abatement of buildings, strictly buildings, not other code items such as lawns, things like that. On the fire side, we've also adopted Appendix B, C, and D. Fire code is still being worked by Marshall Fitzgerald. He wasn't ready to present tonight. I do have a draft copy in the works. There's some spelling issues there. I do apologize for that. Spell check isn't always your best friend. So I've taken some time highlighting what I need to exchange there. One of the topics I wanted to bring up tonight for consideration, and just for consideration, is Appendix B, which requires all single families and duplexes to be sprinkled. We've had this discussion in the past. There's pros and cons for life safety, cost to contractors, and as we all know, our building boom is at its peak right now. So in my opinion, I don't think now would be the time to adopt that. It's not a requirement unless adopted locally by the ordinance for an appendix. This is just a discussion tonight. I'll be coming back to you for the first reading of the ordinance on the 7th of June and then for final adoption on the 14th.
Thank you. Mr. Carnes, when do you anticipate that the fire district will have its comments?
Next week. We plan on sending it to the city attorney for review.
Okay. All right. Council, do you have any questions or concerns? Councilmember Cutaback?
Well, just can you expand on the sprinkler system and what the options are?
Yeah. Last go-around, back in 2013, we adopted the 12. We had done some studies on the cost of sprinkler systems. It can go anywhere from $2,000 to $8,000
per unit.
Some of the other issues were, how do we supply water? Do we do another meter, the cost of meters? There was just a lot of pros and cons that were never really worked out. Some people love them, some people don't.
And this was requiring all builders to include sprinkler systems in the dwellings, in the residential
single-family
dwellings.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Because I seem to remember in the past the fire personnel coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike and I both gave a presentation.
Okay, and they seem to be in favor of doing it.
Of course,
and talked about the life safety and whatnot. So, are they going to be here next week to be able to talk about that item? Or
no, I'm sorry.
On June 7th, maybe.
Right, June 7th. I think Mike and I will be back to discuss any questions like that.
Okay.
The code has taken additional steps in requiring additional smoke alarms in different places in the home. Also, CO2 detectors are required now, so they've taken other steps. Mm-hmm. They've enlarged required windows for egress out of bedrooms. They've done some other things as opposed to making sprinklers mandatory.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And I just want you to know my door is always open for questions. Staff has always gone to update committees. I have the significant changes to all of our books here. You're welcome to come in and view those for some light reading.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
So this is just about single-family dwellings, not apartment buildings, businesses.
Right. Those are reviewed under the IBC, which does require, has thresholds for sprinklers.
So Appendix B is about putting sprinklers in single-family dwellings.
Correct.
As a mandate.
Correct.
And two-family dwellings, too.
Single-family dwellings.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. If we were to do that, would Monroe be the only city that's having, that has sprinkler systems?
No, some of the bigger jurisdictions, Kirkland requires it.
Okay.
The IRC requires sprinklers in any dwelling over 5,000 square feet.
Okay.
So most of the homes in the larger jurisdictions require them anyway because they have the larger square footages.
Okay.
We just haven't hit those thresholds.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
Councilmember Scarborough.
One more question. You said in order to have it in a house, they'd have a the requirement for a separate water meter, implying that if it went off, there'd be a one-time charge. And is there a fear that that system would be tapped into for other than this need?
No, there's a lot of ways to accomplish the required fire flow for a sprinkler system. The IRC has taken it one step further, and they have mandated Appendix Q, which refers back to Chapter 24, which is the plumbing portion of the IRC, which allows a flow-through system. And what that means, it's a one water meter, but you have to make a loop out of your sprinkler system so there's no dead ends. Mm-hmm. That's usually what happens in the potable systems. You have a dead end on a sprinkler line. That water gets contaminated, then it gets back into the potable drinking water. So there's design how they do a flow-through, they call it. Other considerations were, yeah, 2 meters, which one is dead, but then the city has to document and track 2 meters per dwelling, which is expensive and okay. time-consuming for staff. So if we just, the logistics really haven't been thought out yet.
So it doesn't take 2 water lines from the main, it's just a loop.
So if so, chosen.
Okay.
It's a choice.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anything further, Council? As far as the topics of consideration, the not adopting the IRC Appendix V, is that something you need feedback on this evening, or is that something that you can wait until June 7th for?
Yeah, I would like to have Mike here. I'd like to discuss it again on June 7th.
June 7th. Okay, perfect. All right. Anything further, Council? Okay, seeing nothing. Thank you very much, Mr. Powers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next item that we have on our agenda is under new business. This is item number 2, AB 16065, ordinance number 005-2016, downtown fee waiver extension, first reading. Mr. Osaki, this time.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, last June the city council passed an ordinance that for a one-year period temporarily waived permit fees in the downtown. Staff reported back 2 weeks ago on the status of that downtown fee permit waiver program, and the direction the staff got was to bring back an ordinance to you to extend that program for a one-year period, extending from the expiration date of June 14th to another one-year period to June 14th, 2007. Ordinance 005-2016 does that, and I'll just mention that as part of the discussion 2 weeks ago, we do recognize that the council direction was for robust public outreach in terms of informational materials about the program. And we have also prepared a small survey that will go out to the individuals that have applied for permits and gone through the downtown fee waiver program. But we won't have the results back to you before final action next week, should you choose to take final action next week. But when we do get the results back from that survey, we will let you know. So the staff recommendation is accept for first reading ordinance 005-2016.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I'll move to accept as first reading ordinance number 005-2016, extending for an additional one-year period the temporary elimination of fees for certain permits associated with development in the downtown area and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to accept his first reading ordinance number 005-2016 relating to the extension of temporary elimination of fees for certain permits in the downtown area. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just want to thank you for listening to the comments and suggestions about, you know, promotion and getting it out there. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. We have a motion on the table. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. We'll go on to the next item on the agenda. This next item is new business item number 3, AB 16066, presentation of the 2017-2022 Transportation Improvement Program, or plan rather. This is the TIP. and go for it.
Good evening, I'm Scott Peterson, and I'm in charge of the Design and Construction Division here at Public Works. And I'm going to blind Mr. Hanford, I'm sorry. So, Agenda Bill 66 is, every year cities are required to adopt a transportation plan. It's just perpetual. It keeps going. Every year we have a six-year radar on transportation projects that we'd like to get going. In your packet attached to the agenda bill is last year's approved or adopted transportation plan, as well as the proposed 2017 to 2022 transportation improvement program. The lists are largely the same. You know, they just kind of keep rolling along year after year. The differences are that, you know, when the projects are completed, naturally they fall off the list. So we have some projects that are in construction now, anticipated to be completed by the end of 2016, so they've been removed from the proposed 2017-2022 list. For example, Turney Street, you know, it's been on there for a while, the Turney Street signal on which we've has been on there for a while, but those are both anticipated to be completed this year. So, and so they're off the list. The agenda bill is seeking tonight just discussion and direction as necessary. See what input you may have. The process for adoption, of course, is the public hearing, which will be scheduled later in June, and then it's required by the RCW to have the adoption occur in the resolution by July 1st of this year. So the resolution needs to be occurred on or before June 28th. So we do have some time to discuss, but we do have a public hearing and whatnot to take care of this. So, a little small, but in your packet. For now, just want to present it before the council, see if you had any questions on it.
Okay, council, do you have any questions or comments? Okay, I don't see any right now. So, Mr. Peterson, thank you very much. And we look forward to this being brought back again for a public hearing then on June 14th. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, the next item that we have on the agenda is new business item number 4. This is AB 16067, Discussion City Council Rules of Procedure, Proposed Amendments. Mr. Basil.
Thank you, Council. This has been before the Legislative Affairs Committee to review. There was a lot of housekeeping matters that were addressed, just to bring it into current practices. Three of the main areas that the committee's looked over and we'll be discussing this evening have to do with the seating arrangement, and the way we do it now is by position. And so that's proposed to be done by seniority. And that'd be at the first council meeting of each every even year. The second thing would be proposed to reduce the citizen comment portion of the meeting to 3 minutes. We did a survey of many cities around the area. I think there was 30 or so cities we actually looked at. The majority are 3 minutes. Council always has the option to extend that on evenings when we have a lot of people here and you want to hear additional comment. Council can change that, but as a normal practice, it would be 3 minutes. And then the final section that is being looked at is a potential amendment to allow for abstentions. And there's three options that are before you of how that would work. And we're just open for discussion and some answers. And City Clerk Smoot is able to chime in and help out as needed as well this evening.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Just to clarify something that we talked about. I don't know, Councilor Davis, if you were going to address this from the committee point of view, but or Cam.
It's me.
That's not too many committees. I don't know if you were going to address that or not, but the one question I had regarding the council seating arrangement was that if we we do this, Mayor, are you wanting to make a decision, since this is an even year, to make a decision after this takes place, so that the rest of the year and a half ahead of us would be, we would sit in those seats? Or are we waiting a year and a half and then at that point make a decision? So I just bring that because I'm not the one that brought this up. I'm neutral about the whole thing. So, but my thought is if we're going to actually vote to change that, then I would think we should then say, okay, at the next council meeting, the seating arrangements will be decided, since it's an even year, for the next year and a half until the next even year. That's my opinion. But thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
No, I just wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, if you want to comment on that, I can go next.
No, that's fine.
Councilmember Hanford.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Camp. Okay, we'll go with Councilmember Camp.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good start. whatever the council decides would be fine. It was my intent that if we did decide to go forward with this senior arrangement change, we might as well do it and take care of anybody who has to face that light every week. Would be fine with me.
That's true.
That's all. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
So my question was just about the 3 minutes, and I understand taking a survey of other cities and finding out that 3 minutes is the norm, but did the committee feel 5 minutes was too much, that our meetings were going over? I mean, I suppose I like to defer to giving people a little bit longer opportunity. 3 minutes is pretty short. I understand more cities do that. But what was the pressing? Was it meetings too long, too many people, not having enough time for everybody to speak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the comments we heard, especially with some of the longer meetings we had, especially with citizen comment, was by the time someone was able, would have been able to make their comments, they had to go home for children or whatever. So by shrinking it from 5 minutes, especially for the really big crowds, to 3 minutes, we should be able to get more comment, more people with an opportunity to make a comment. Granted, you're going to reduce some of the information you're going to get, but it just seemed better to allow more people to have that opportunity than whoever first come, first serve kind of thing. That's the primary driver.
Yeah. Is there an opportunity, you were saying that we could always allow, Gene, you were saying we could always allow extended time if we felt we needed to. So even though we have these rules of procedure, can we change it at the beginning of a meeting or?
Wait for the rules. Go for it.
That's my understanding, but it's got to be consistent. So you can't do it just for one citizen.
Yeah.
You do it for everybody in the evening.
At the meeting.
And if I can address what the prior question was,
yeah.
We do 5 minutes now, but I don't start the clock until after the person comes up, introduces themselves, gives their address, all that type. So you're looking at, you know, 5 minutes and 30 seconds, 5 minutes and 45
right.
seconds per person. So it does lengthen the time of the meeting, and that was kind of some of the discussion at the
yeah.
committee level.
And just to also add to that, I frequently, you know, I'll start leaning in when we get to about 4 minutes and a half, 4:45. Once we get to 5 minutes, that's where I usually say, please wrap up, and I'll usually allow 15 seconds to another 30 seconds or something like that. I don't usually just have somebody stop immediately, but there is, in addition to the time to introduce yourself, there's also the time that it takes to actually get somebody to wrap up. So when you add all that up, you can be up at 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah, it's just my feeling if people take the time and the effort to come down here to give them as much public comment time as feasible without, you know, extending the meeting way past what we wanted or making sure everybody has an opportunity to speak. I just know it takes a lot, and I appreciate when people come down to speak, and it is a, you know, pain for some people on a weekday to come down and do that. So I just question whether it's absolutely necessary that I haven't noticed that our meetings were overly long or that people didn't get an opportunity to speak, but I might have missed that. And I'm just wondering if there's a way to do 5 minutes, and then if there's a certain amount of people signed up, it goes to 3, something like that. But I guess if we can change it every, can you reduce it? If you have it in your procedure 5 minutes, can you reduce it to 3 based on the number of people signed up? If you start at the beginning of the meeting.
It's my understanding that we have to allow citizens to speak during the meeting. And
yeah,
it's council's prerogative to decide what that time period is. And
right.
As long as you're consistent and you adjust your rules, make that motion at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
One of the practical difficulties of reducing it is that you may have people that have prepared a speech ahead of time,
right,
and even practiced it to be at,
sure,
5 minutes. So if you then notice you've got a large crowd and you reduce it to 3 minutes, you may have people that were expecting you to have an additional 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, I'm not necessarily in favor of reducing it to 3 from 5. I haven't noticed that it's,
I'll talk to you guys later,
you know, been a big issue in that people haven't gotten a chance to speak. And I appreciate when people come down here and get the 5 minutes. 3 minutes is pretty short for some of the topics and some of maybe what people want to say. I think if it was an issue where we had people lined out the door and we had meetings going to 11 or 12 at night because of public comment time, I could see that being a need, but I guess I just haven't seen that, and I haven't heard that from citizens coming in saying I don't get an opportunity to speak. So I think if we can give people more time to state their opinion. I did have one comment from a citizen who wondered if there was any opportunity to get up and speak after council deliberated an issue. Some of the comments I've heard is that having council speak about an issue and then be able to comment on the discussion would be beneficial, and I don't know if any councils do that or if that is, you know, we have public comment right in the beginning. I understand that for efficiency. I'm just throwing that out there for anyone, any input.
So one of the challenges to that is that, first, I haven't worked anywhere that I recall where that's been something that's been allowed. The time to deliberate, I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, pardon me, I'm just communicating with the city administrator. I am aware of another city that does that, and it's certainly within your prerogative to allow for public comment at any time during any particular agenda item. My observation is it does tend to lend itself to a less wieldy meeting.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Is that Issaquah by chance?
I won't mention names. Not Miss.
Or is it Fife?
So there is a city it that does allow that. I was just curious,
yeah,
if I had heard someone mention that.
One of the hard things about that is that's the council's time. Deliberation, you've made a motion, you've made a second, there's an action on the table. I think the intent there is for the council to deliberate the motion that's on the table. And if you have folks coming up in the middle of the deliberation, that could lend itself to more back and forth and things along those lines. So, you know, when you've got an ordinance, you've got a public hearing where you receive testimony. Certainly, people have the ability to meet with council members outside of chambers to talk with them also. Anyway, that's just some feedback,
yeah,
based on my experience with other places. And did you say that council can rule, can waive its rules of procedure to have somebody deliberate if deemed necessary?
Yes, council, and I think that's an important point. You do have a waiver provision built into your rules of procedure as they're currently drafted, and it's always within your prerogative to accept additional public testimony on particular agenda items. The one caveat to that is the council is aware, quasi-judicial matters that come before you either in a public hearing or on closed record,
yeah,
it would be obviously unfair and inappropriate to require additional different testimony opportunities than what you've already publicly noticed for the meeting.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
Thanks. Councilmember Camp.
I think I have my comment.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, just one observation to what you had said, Councilman Cutback. It's not that anyone is not grateful for citizens coming down to share. We're all grateful for that. I've said that many times. And I can understand what you're saying about if you're frustrated because you want to have a full 5 minutes. On the flip side of that, because if you remember the last time that we had a really long night, it was said at least once from the audience that so-and-so is sitting out here and had to leave, otherwise they would come up and share too. And I specifically remember that happening at least once. And more frustrating than someone being limited from 5 to 3 would be someone that took the time to come down on Tuesday night for council, sat out here for 3 hours, and then had to just leave without even getting his break. So the second thing I wanted to say too that we haven't really talked about is we all have talked about we don't want to extend past 10 because we're not as productive. Everything is slowing down, right? We're exhausted. So to be able to limit that time so that we're getting focused 3 minutes and then we can have our meeting focusing on what we have to get done, I think is very viable. So just that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other discussion? Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Were we going to discuss the abstention as well?
I would welcome it. Yes, please. Right.
We had one of the points, I believe, Robert's Rules allows for an abstention. And currently, City Council requires that if you are present, you vote. And if you vote, if you don't vote, your vote is, your presence is counted as a positive vote. Thinking about it, and a recent incident just happened, it seems that we should follow the line more with Robert's Rules for a number of reasons. One of them is it brings it out in the open whether or not somebody's going to vote. I think, I don't know if everyone has heard, but some people show up late. Some people leave early. Some people have to run out to the lobby to avoid votes. I'd rather be someone be able to sit here and say, I agree with the principle, but I disagree with the method, so I'm going to abstain from voting on this particular issue. Staff was kind enough to put together 3 alternatives for us with an abstention. You would have a vote. If you voted to abstain, you would be counted as affirmative. Or if you voted to abstain, you would be counted as negative. But I prefer that if you vote to abstain, you are, as the, I believe, Congress, you are voting essentially present for or against whatever the issue is. And that's just something I want to put out for council. I think it's something we could do. I think it clears up something we've known that's happened but we haven't really addressed. And I think it would bring it more out in the open.
Councilmember Scarborough.
We discussed this at some length. And I'm a bit torn on whether to go. I'm with Jim on the Councilman Camp on the if you're here and you abstain, it's a present vote. I was also reminded by some people that we were hired to sit up here to make decisions, and it might be thought that a vote should be required, yes or no. So I'm a little torn. I'm not exactly sure on which side of the issue I am at this point.
Thank you. Council, anybody else like to weigh in on allowing for abstentions? The code currently requires a vote that is presented to the council. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. comments really to the committee and the work putting in on this and taking a look at it. You know, as far as the careful consideration of the time limit for citizen comment and then abstentions, I think we should consider them myself as an option. So, but kudos to the committee for doing the work on this. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So I've only heard two people comment on the abstention. Oh, thank you. All right. So I don't know who went in first. Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes. I think I mentioned this in the committee that we should follow the, since we're following Robert's Rules of Order on most everything else, we should follow that book as well. I think that's kind of what we talked about. So.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
I agree with the Councilman Member Hanford's statement on it is a part of Robert's Rules of Order, and it makes sense to be consistent with that. But basically, if I leave the chambers, I'm not voting.
Or correct.
I abstain. All this does is gives me the ability to verbally abstain from the vote and not have to jump up and run out the door. So, I mean, those are my options. I'd rather just sit here and say I abstain from the vote. So it makes sense to me. It makes sense. So I'm good with that. So.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutback.
So, how I look at this is that we are elected to make decisions and that people expect us to come prepared and make decisions. And there are valid reasons for disqualification, whether it's conflict of interest or not sure what the others might be. But I think that that if you abstain, it is looked at as an or you don't vote, it is an affirmative vote. So I guess I prefer the way our rules are currently.
Okay, I'm used to coming in here and voting yes or no when I worked as a council member like you are right now. I have a preference that you know, when I elect somebody to office, that especially a council member, your job is to vote on policy and budget, yes or no. It's sad that there are people that have felt that they've had to leave the room in the past so that they didn't have to cast a vote.
Yeah.
My first meeting that I attended, I was elected into an appointed position. I had to vote on something that, you know, was new to me at the time, and both Councilmember Zimmerman and I took office that same evening, and both of us would have liked to have abstained there, but we were not allowed to abstain because the requirement was that we voted. I would prefer that people vote on those items, that council members vote on those items that are brought before them. If council is going to allow for an abstention, I think that it would be valuable to state why there is an abstention. Council certainly can adopt the rules of procedure however you want to. To say that it's based on Robert's Rules of Order, I think that Robert's is a fairly thick document, and I'm not certain we follow everything that's in there right now. So I wouldn't hang your hat on it being consistent with Robert's Rules of Order. What I would do is just simply say, look, there are times that we just want to be able to abstain. So if that's what you'd like to do, to me that would be the reason why. So if there's abstentions, there will be a higher probability for split votes. If you've got an odd number of people here, that's something to observe. And I don't know. I just feel that folks should usually vote yes or no on something that's brought before them. So everybody, of course, up here will have different opinions, and I'll go ahead and these are your rules of procedure. The way that it would go would be all those in favor say aye, all opposed or abstentions, and then if there are opposed or abstentions, I just have to go through and figure out which ones are abstentions and which ones are nays. I guess that's the way that it would work. Okay. Councilmember Camp and then Councilmember Cutaback.
Thank you. like I said, I think this brings it out into the open on whether or not someone is disappearing into the lobby to avoid a vote. Regarding the abstention itself, I just don't think it's going to be happening that often. Most of us come here with an opinion on what it is we're looking at. The only time I've seen it is when someone has a particular issue that just really doesn't qualify for a disqualification, but it doesn't rise to the level of an active opposition to something. I haven't seen it that often. I think those are the key points. And I think procedurally, it's just one more, you know, vote aye if you're in favor, against, and then one more, any abstentions. I don't think it's going to slow down our progress that much. So, my opinion.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
So when somebody does abstain, they just say, what you're proposing or what I'm hearing is they can abstain. It doesn't count as a affirmative or negative, and they don't have to give a reason for abstaining.
May I comment on that?
Yeah.
That was one of the points. We don't require anyone to explain their vote, yes or no.
Yes or no.
So I don't see why we would have to explain, require someone to explain their abstention. I mean, obviously, I would think the press would ask, why did you abstain on this particular vote? But I don't think it should be a requirement.
I still stand with what I had said previously.
Okay. All right. So the next steps for this would be?
Are we voting on this tonight?
No, they're just looking for direction this evening. So we'll bring this back then with the inclusion of the abstention language, and if council wants to have that removed or something, they can certainly strike that when it comes forward. When will this be brought forward again?
It's not been scheduled at this time. It sort of depended on tonight, and if everything was sort of determined and everyone was okay with all the other proposed amendments.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Russell.
Just think strictly from an operations standpoint, the only concern I have is if we get many council members that abstain, it could be challenging for staff to get work to move forward. That is the only hesitation I have. And so that's why I believe in the discussions we've had in-house here is that if this is something that we end up doing, our preference would be to have it either be recorded as affirmative or a negative vote, just for that standpoint, that it would keep things moving. It would still give you the ability to have an abstention, but that is strictly being spoken from the operational standpoint, from my view.
Okay, and before I move back on to lights, I'm understanding that Section 3, there is a general consensus that choosing your seating is something that's acceptable. Does anybody disagree with that? Okay, is there any objection to moving this from, moving public comment from 5 minutes to 3 minutes?
I'm not in favor of that, but...
Okay.
So the rest of council is.
Staff will go ahead and bring that forward with 3 minutes, and an amendment, of course, can be made when it comes forward. And so that only leaves, then, of the three bullets on here, the abstentions. Of course, you can comment on anything you like, and I've got a couple of lights here, but I just wanted to make certain we got the first two bullets taken care of. So, council, we keep adding folks. Just a second. Councilmember Scarborough and Councilmember Rasmussen. All right, Councilmember Camp.
Actually, I was just going to propose, and I think you're already doing it, separating these out. And I think you're going to have three separate bullets we're going to vote on, or?
No, these are going to be coming back to council. So what I'm doing is staff understands to bring back the first bullet, allowing for seniority for choice of seat, to bring back the second bullet with 3 minutes,
right.
And then right now it sounds like there's a consensus to allow for abstentions. And so staff would just bring back a final document for council to consider adopting by motion at a future date. Is that the process?
Yes. So before you have a packet of all of the proposed amendments, which include additional items that are more housekeeping items to motions, council compensation. So normally how we approve them is we bring forward a full document with a number of proposed amendments. So the idea was that if you had a general consensus tonight on how to propose, bring it forward we could bring forward those items. I think that's what the mayor's trying to determine, is how you'd like to see them in the full document. We'd bring forward a full document, and then, of course, you could still discuss or, you know, amend or choose not to amend any of those items when it comes forward for action.
Okay, so if I still have the floor, then...
Yes, sir.
My concern is that the housekeeping items, like we change from the council creates their own or makes their own salary to the salary commission, but that doesn't get waylaid by some of the disagreement. Okay.
That's still coming back. We're just trying to make sure the document that comes back for your final or pre-final consideration includes these three bullets the way that it sounds like consensus is tonight.
That's all.
This isn't a vote.
Thank you.
Yep. Councilmember Scarborough.
Is there a possibility for a compromise on the 3 to 5 minute and say 4 minutes, because Gene gives a good 15-20 seconds to the first part of somebody's announcement of who they are, where they live, and the mayor gives a good 15-30 seconds at the end trying to get somebody to get off the podium. Is there a possibility that a 4 minute compromise would work? Just a thought.
Okay. I heard that there was a consensus for the five, and council can always make that change when it comes back.
Consensus for the five or the three?
I'm sorry, for the three. Thank you.
Oh, I thought it was five.
Sorry, anything further, Councilmember Scarborough?
No.
Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Gene, if abstentions is an option, you said it could create some delay or workload and move them forward. I mean, can you elaborate and kind of expand on that? I guess I'm just trying to see what that looks like then.
Well, let's say there's a particular topic and several council members abstain. The mayor decides not to break the vote, right, until the following week for whatever reason, and then it dies on the floor.
I guess I just see that happen about as often as a 3-3 tie with a full council and under the current rules, and you know, I guess that's where I was having a hard time seeing that. But I see it, see your point. But I guess I just don't see it happening as often or concerning amount. So.
The only thing that I would observe is that there are going to be times where you're going to abstain that are not controversial. It's those times where things are controversial, where somebody decides to abstain, that can be the most concerning.
As opposed to...
Right. Okay, you were saying something. You still have the floor. I'm trying to remember what else. Okay. So, abstain. What's that? Do you have anything else? Okay, I forgot what I was going to say. So we'll go ahead and we'll make those adjustments to the rules of procedure and bring them back before council.
Thank I'm just you. Getting some water.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next item. So we've discussed new business item number 4. We're now on final action number 1. We moved to earlier in the agenda. Thank you for doing that. We're now on to the executive session. I know that we've got a crowd. I'd like to go ahead and use this room, though, because I'm not certain how long the session is going to be. I'd like to make sure we're getting seated. So we're going to go ahead and use this room for exec session. This will be agency litigation under RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection I, for approximately 10 minutes. With potential action to follow. Thank you. Okay, thank you. We're back in session, and the next item on the agenda is final action item number 1. This is resolution number 004-2016 regarding Growth Management Hearings Board, GMHB, compliance for East Monroe. This was deferred from April 12, 2016. And Gene, do you want to?
It's Dave.
I'm sorry, Dave. Brief presentation.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, resolution 004-2016
was before the City Council on April 12th. It was deferred to a later date last week. Two council members requested that it be brought back on tonight's agenda, which it is. Just in summary, very quickly, what this resolution does, it expresses the council's intent to discontinue any attempts to reclassify and rezone the property to general commercial. It acknowledges formally that the land use classification and zoning of the property is limited open space, East Monroe Properties, and then it directs the mayor and city attorney to take all necessary steps to achieve an order of compliance from the Growth Management Hearings Board. And finally, just very quickly, since this agenda bill before you is the one that was presented, well, there are alternatives identified as part of the agenda bill, but alternative three, final appeal of the Growth Management Hearing Board order through court action, would no longer be applicable because it was applicable in April during that 30-day appeal period. It is no longer applicable at this moment in time. And that concludes the staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. All right, Council, are there any questions? Councilmember Cutterback.
No questions, but I would ask that this item be brought back at a later council meeting if I have another council member who agrees.
I'll agree.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and bring this back at another date. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda this evening is council member reports. Tonight we had the P4 committee, so Councilmember Davis, I'm sorry. Councilmember Davis, you're the chair.
We did have a meeting. Everybody was present. Unfinished business that we went over was we just completed the work plan and submitted that so that that could get moved. We could move on from there. The new business that we discussed was track 999, which is interesting. It seems that is an ongoing process. Interest in that property is there. Some other ideas about what we can do with that property have come up. So we're continuing to look into those, and more information will be coming later as we get more answers. But just a quick, it looks interesting and kind of exciting, the opportunity that we have with that property, and some other doors may be opening for other opportunities. So look for that to come back to us here at a later date. We did discuss the garbage contract, and one of the interesting or one of the topics that we discussed was the possibility of turning over the customer services to the Republic, and just sort of removing the city as the middleman in between that and letting them deal with customer service on a much probably a quicker and less expensive way for us. The other options that we're looking at is one of the things we were concerned about is how that would affect our staff, if it would affect our staff, so that we're still looking at that. Part of the reason why we're looking at these things is because the contract is coming up, so staff is preparing for that, and we'll be seeing more about the contract in the future. My understanding is they're going to meet. They've been meeting with Republic, and they've still got one more meeting to go. So we'll be hearing about that in the future too. So, other than that, it was an interesting meeting, and that's about all that we covered. That's all I have.
Cool. Thank you very much. Let's go ahead and go down the line then. Councilmember reports. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing to report.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Davis.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. First, there's no SCT meeting next week, so
okay.
There'll be no report following week. I just want to congratulate the city staff on putting together a really great garbage day. It was great to get my yard emptied for a change, and I really saw a huge crowd. I'm not surprised that they had 500 people going through it, so well done. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you.
Apologies for missing last week. I wasn't able to make the Board of Health meeting, which I'm following up on, and anything of noteworthy I'll be sure to bring to an upcoming council meeting and during my reports. Outside of that, I've been enjoying watching the progress on the skate park at Lake Tai coming along. And are we still on track for July? Does anyone know?
Brad's not here this evening to answer.
Mike's not here.
And Mike's not here, right.
Thanks. Art selection committee met last week. We'll have a recommendation coming to council next week, I believe. So it was a very unanimous consensus on that. So hopefully council will enjoy it as well. And then Tri-Monroe is coming on June 18th, and they are looking for volunteers for the event. You can just go to their website, trimonroe.com/volunteer, and sign up yourself and all your family and friends to volunteer for this awesome event. About 275 athletes, so it's going to be a big year this year.
Wow. Very cool.
You going?
I'll be there. Not participating.
Oh, you'll be participating for support.
Young?
I can do that.
What? I didn't mean that.
13 to 18 years.
Mr. Brazel.
I did meet with Director Farrell regarding the skate park this morning, and he confirmed that they are on schedule and they feel they'll hit their target.
Excellent.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Last Thursday, I went to the attended the Snohomish County Economic Alliance luncheon and awards. It was a great event at the casino. Very full. Great to hear about some of the things that are business-wise happening in our community. There's one company called Electric Mirror. Have you guys heard of this company? But they do all the mirrors with the Bluetooth and the computers in the mirrors, and they do them for all the casinos. And anyways, they're in Snohomish County. 100% would not outship their jobs, Snohomish County family, and so it's good to see companies like that that started out in a garage and now employ over 400 people in the county are looking at increasing to 1,000 in the next couple of years. So lots of stories like that there, so that was a good event. And then today I attended the YWCA luncheon at Comcast Arena, and I believe Councilmember Hanford was there. It was a great lunch and talked about the work that the YWCA is doing throughout our region for women and kids in need. So it was a great great function. And then this Friday I will be attending the community transit board retreat all day. So I will be at that, so I'll report on that next week. That's it.
Cool. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, I was at the luncheon today, as you said. On May 5th, I was at the National Day of Prayer event. Saw several of you there, First Baptist Church. That was very much appreciated. We can use all the prayer we can get. And the other thing I wanted to just announce, there is a orphan care agency informational night this coming Saturday night, Cascade Church at 6 o'clock that my wife and I are organizing. So if you know of anybody that is interested in helping orphans, that's an option. I think that's it.
Cool. Thank you. Scott, do you have anything to report tonight?
I'm just here if you have any questions. I don't have anything new to say.
Okay. Sounds good. Great. Sounds good. Ben? Okay. Let's go with Mr. and Mrs. Mr. Osaki. Sorry.
Just FYI, we took in another plat application last week, 18 lots on Main Street, north side, just across from the Monroe Family Village.
Across from what?
Monroe Family Village apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's it.
Thank you. Chief?
Nothing this evening.
Okay. Thank you. Gene?
I just want to take a second to recognize our outstanding staff. Once again, while I was away on vacation, I came back, and they did a fantastic job and handled everything, and they're just awesome. So I just wanted to recognize them.
Thank you. Anything else?
No.
Okay. So I was at the National Night of Prayer also. That was a great event, so that was great going there. Also, I attended on Thursday last week the Washington State Administrators, or rather School Administrators meeting. We were recognized with an award. This is also for partnering with the school district on the synthetic turf field. So this will go up on the wall here in the building. I'll just go ahead and pass that down. So I think that's, yeah.
You did the school thing the other night.
School thing. Oh, right. Yeah, we had the fundraiser on Friday night, and we raised about $100,000. Councilmember Gamble and Councilmember Scarborough were there. About $100,000 was raised that evening, according to Facebook reports, for the Monroe Public Schools Foundation. And I even was auctioned off for lunch with the mayor. Sam owns me, I owe him, but he owns me for a lunch. That was fun. I think that's all that I have, though. So, Gene, why don't you go ahead?
Draft agenda for May 24th, 2016. Your announcements and presentations. We'll have economic lines here. Your proclamation for Memorial Day 2016. And the 12th annual traditional powwow. We have the consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we'll be talking about smoking and vaping in parks. And then discussing downtown decorative lighting. Under new business, we have taxi cab application, final action, downtown outdoor sculpture selection. You might remember that has to do with the little mini grant program.
I'm sorry, what?
The downtown artwork selection will be next week.
And then under council member reports, we have community transit board. Additions or deletions?
Anything for the extended agenda?
The only thing that I just want council to think about is I believe there's a meeting on July 5th. And that's something to consider whether or not that'd be something you want to have. If not, you'll want to take action on that sometime in the future. Thank you.
All right. Any other business? Nope. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I'll just, regarding July 5th, I'll just let you know I won't be here. And then, motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. We're adjourned.